Thank you to Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm, proud partner of the Lakers Talk Podcast.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm is excited and proud to partner with the Lakers Talk Podcast. If you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
Lakers Talk is on. Is on. From the winning tradition of the Los Angeles Lakers.
You got 19 or 20 years to play with the Lakers.
Yeah, 19 or 20 at least.
It's over, and the most valuable player is Magic Johnson.
Kobe underneath gives it up. Jack slammed out. Sends it to Kareem. Sky hook up and good.
To future legends of the purple and gold.
LeBron on a breakaway, and the first basket of his Laker career is a tomahawk dunk.
There is not a better duo in the NBA than LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
It's going to be fun for sure. I'll put our roster up against anybody.
Here's Alan Sliwa.
Laker fans, appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. 2.5 hours of Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Always appreciate everybody tuning into the broadcast. A lot of good things to get into. Sam Amick, senior writer for The Athletic, will hop on around 7:15 or so. Ann Begley, who writes for the Spectrum New York, covers the New York Knicks. We'll get a kind of a good preview of the Lakers and the Knicks coming up for tomorrow. I want to start off the show with this. And, you know, as always, there are a lot of topics around the Los Angeles Lakers. Hopefully you guys know my style by now. A lot of it is just kind of where the state of the team is, what the Lakers have to do, what gives them the best and you know, most opportunity to try and get chip number 17 and tie the Boston Celtics. And as we look at this Lakers team, are they in a good position? They are. They're sitting at 29-7 right now. Should handle business against the New York Knicks tomorrow. A lot of the topic and a lot of the conversation right now is about the upcoming trade deadline. So February 6th is the NBA trade deadline. And then the name that we've kind of listened to in the last, let's say, 48 hours, Kuzma's name's coming up a lot. And it's kind of interesting with Kyle Kuzma, because I think you could definitely have a viewpoint on both sides around Kyle Kuzma. Some of this stuff obviously came up a little bit more today. Mark Stein on Twitter: Sacramento is among the teams that has tried to engage the Lakers in Kyle Kuzma trade talks. League sources say the Kings know they would have to include sharpshooter and soon-to-be restricted free agent Bogdan Bogdanovic for starters in a Kuzma deal. Just the mere fact that there's a conversation right now around Kyle Kuzma, you know, and think about last season, what happened with this Lakers team. Trade deadline came. Lakers were trying to shop everybody for Anthony Davis. This has been the trend the last couple years with the Lakers, and they're trying to do everything they can to try and improve the roster to win an NBA championship. So if there is chatter out there and there are conversations about Kyle Kuzma, we know why there's chatter. The chatter is only to improve the roster and give yourself the greatest likelihood to beat the Clippers, the Milwaukee Bucks, some of these other elite teams in the NBA. But I'll ask Laker fans out there, and I'm going to give you guys my thoughts on Kyle Kuzma. What should the Lakers do with Kuz? My thoughts are this. Let me say real quick what I like about Kyle Kuzma. All right, I think Kuz has a incredible amount of potential. He's a player in this league that can give you 25 points on the biggest stage. Did that against the Clippers on Christmas. He's a player that I feel like kind of likes those big moments. Can be a clutch player for the Lakers down the road. Can be a part of this team for the next 5 to 7 years and be extremely productive. You know, we obviously know he's young enough. He's just 3 years into the league right now. He's one of those players that you hope continues to develop and becomes a player on this Los Angeles Lakers roster that we all kind of assumed he would be coming into his third year. We thought he's going to be, all right, this guy's going to be 16 to 20 points a game is what we not only wanted. I use this phrase a lot, a necessity and a luxury. It's not a luxury for Kuz to give you 16 to 20 a game. It's a necessity. Lakers have to have it. And he has that potential of being one of those players. Here are my concerns with Kuzma. Right now, the Lakers are lacking a third player, a consistent player, a standout off the bench. And I like using, you know, anytime I talk about a role player or a bench player, I just kind of lump them all together. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, they're in their own class. We know what they are to this Los Angeles Lakers franchise and this team. But after those two, there is a humongous drop-off between everybody else on this Los Angeles Lakers roster. And we all thought, okay, Kuzma's going to fill in that role. Kuzma's going to be the third best player on this team, and there's no question about it. So far, I think the one thing Kuzma has proved this year is that he cannot be relied on, and he cannot be that consistent player that the Lakers need. Look, we know the expectations for the Lakers. There's no middle ground this season. It's either you win an NBA championship or you failed and you didn't get a chip. My concern with Kuzma is he's got the potential. He is a player that can be in the league for 10 plus years and most definitely be an asset for the Los Angeles Lakers. But the Lakers are in this very, very small window to try and win right now. And I said this maybe about 10 games ago or so when he was just coming back from his injury. Let's give the guy a little bit of time. Let's let him come back from these injuries that he's had and let Kuzma be Kyle Kuzma. And we've seen some of that. You know, if you look at his last few games, I know he had one game where he had 0 points. And then yesterday, I think he had 10 points total. It's just kind of apparent that it's not going to be done on a consistent basis, at least so far this season. We can only go off of what we've seen so far. What he did last year, you can't pay attention to because AD wasn't on this team. What he did 2 years ago, you can't pay attention to. The roster is completely different. But where the Lakers sit right now, the concerns I have with Kuz is lack of playoff experience. And he hasn't so far this year filled in that role where you think, okay, he's a clear-cut third best player on this roster. And look, let's be frank, Danny Green hasn't been the player that we thought he'd be. Rondo, I think it's apparent he hasn't been the player that we're hoping for so far this season. There's still a lot of basketball left. Lakers are sitting at 29-7. They have the best record in the Western Conference, and they have a 4.5 game cushion in the West. So I think to be critical at this point, I'm sure a lot of Lakers fans are like, Alan, what are you talking about? Relax. Lakers are playing fantastic basketball. Look at where they were a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever the case is. But the only reason why a lot of this stuff gets highlighted right now is because February 6th is your trade deadline. The conversation and the chatter is starting. Is there a player out there that if the Los Angeles Lakers did make a trade, if they did make a move, does that then give them a better chance of winning a championship this year? I really don't think the Lakers are thinking 3, 4, 5 years down the road. They're looking at this window that they're in with LeBron James, with Anthony Davis, but specifically LeBron James, and they want to do everything they possibly can to get a championship this season. I don't even think you could look at next year. You know, even next year, you're just going to have to kind of kick back and figure it out over the summer, reassess everything. But as far as where the Lakers stand this year, at this moment, with the trade deadline coming up in about a month or so, with kind of all the factors that come into play, with LeBron's age, with the Lakers in a very, very unique window, we know last championship the Lakers got was 10 years ago. You went 6 years without making the playoffs, still haven't made the playoffs. But you're in a prime position now. You don't have that luxury right now saying, okay, well, if it didn't happen this year, that's okay. We got next year, or we got another 2 years or a 4 year window, whatever the case is. The window that you're in right now is we have to somehow, some shape, way, or form, make it happen now because who knows where we're going to be a year from now. And I think so far what we've seen from the Lakers, there's concern with the Clippers. Of course, there should be. You're 0-2 against the Los Angeles Clippers. You don't know, maybe there's a team in the Eastern Conference, which the Lakers this month are going to be at Philly. They're going to be at Boston. They already lost that game to the Milwaukee Bucks. All they care about is, all right, do we have enough talent? Do we have enough experience? Do we have enough players that we feel like the way this roster is constructed right now, do we got a chance at a chip? Or do we feel like the greedy, you got to get even more greedy in this position, in this situation? And that's a question mark for, I think, for this front office right now. And that's why I think it's such a great topic to go through. And if you're a Laker fan out there, It's a fair conversation to have. Should Kuzma be used as a trade, or do you think that, you know, we'd be giving up too early on Kyle Kuzma? Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. We'll make this next segment specifically about Kyle Kuzma, and we'll take some calls in regards to Laker fans of what you guys think. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Do you like the idea of exploring some type of deal for Kyle Kuzma, or you think the Lakers would be making a mistake if they did it? Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. You're listening to the Lakers Talk podcast presented by Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm are huge Laker fans, and we're excited and proud to partner with and sponsor the Lakers Talk podcast. So if you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
All right, we're talking about Kyle Kuzma and just where the Lakers are right now. Look, over the last couple of years, we've seen the Lakers not hesitate at trading away some of these young assets. And I'm not saying do it one way or the other. What I'm saying is, of course it makes sense to see what offers are out there. If you can improve this roster and increase your chances of winning an NBA championship this season, you have to do it if you're the Lakers. And if that takes a Kyle Kuzma or anybody else on this roster, I know there's some guys that have no trade clause, so really Lakers only have so much to work with. You have to entertain it. This isn't a four-year window for the Lakers. It's a, we got a shot right now at a chip, and we have no idea what's going to happen next season. And the Lakers, not just LeBron's age, but there's a number of factors that go into play. You're 29-7. You're right there. You're in the conversation. You got the best record in the Western Conference. You have this very unique window where you got a shot at an NBA championship. So when the question gets proposed, and Kyle Kuzma seems to be in a ton of the chatter on Saturday at the Lakers practice facility, he said he doesn't pay attention to it. He's gone through it now before. Obviously, last year we saw what happened with the Lakers and them trying to make a deal for Anthony Davis right before the NBA trade deadline. But this franchise hasn't hesitated to make moves in order to try and win today. Just look at the past. The past is, whether it was D'Angelo Russell or Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Julius Randle not being re-signed. You could go up and down the list. The Lakers' youth, they were assets. They were not somebody that the Lakers thought, okay, hey, let's rebuild this thing. Let's do it organically. Let's grow within the system. That's not how the Lakers did it to get where they are today, and I don't think that's going to change. I'm not saying just go shop your players for nothing, but if you can put yourself in a better position to win, Lakers are sitting at 29-7 in the Western Conference, but at the same time, even with that 29-7 record, even with the best record in the West, there can be some doubt in Laker fans saying, well, are we as good as the Clippers, because we've already lost to them two games? Are we as good as some of those other teams in the Eastern Conference? So I think it's a fair conversation. So phone number is 877-710-ESPN. You think the Lakers should look at a trade for Kyle Kuzma, or do you think it would be a mistake if this franchise traded away such a young asset with obviously a lot of potential? 877-710-ESPN. Let's start with Max in L.A. Max, what do you think?
Alan, I love you, buddy. I think you got great analysis on our Lakers, but I could not disagree more in terms of any idea of trading Kyle Kuzma. There's just no trade out there that would make this worthwhile for us right now in terms of winning a championship. Yes, he's regressed a little bit. I give you that. But you know what? This is a guy who 2 years ago as a rookie, one thing I kept on my phone here, third rookie in franchise history to score 25 in three straight games. The other two, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, those jerseys hang in the rafters. He's the guy we were lucky to keep in the Anthony Davis trade. Okay, he's the guy who has gelled with LeBron the most. His three-point shooting only stands to get better. His defense only stands to get better. His rebounding only stands to get better. He's a real talent who we got late in the first round. I mean, you don't get rid of this guy unless you're bringing in a real heavy hitter. And that guy just isn't out there for trade, Alan.
Hey, Max,
Iggy, or yep, maybe Darren Collison to add to this team without doing this.
Max, big picture for the Lakers. And then looking at this small window that the Lakers have, and I'm talking about just this season. So looking right at it at both of those perspectives, what do you think Kuz is going to be the rest of the way this year? Because, you know, the potential that you're talking about and some of the names that you just brought up, that's all great and dandy. But just looking at this roster, obviously trying to win right now, what do you think Kuz has got to do the rest of the way for all of us to say, okay, you know what, Kuz is that guy that we assumed he was going to be?
He's a guy who last year averaged around, 15, 16 points a game. He gets back to that, maybe ups it to 17, 18, which he's fully capable of doing. He's a guy who's a legit third threat when you talk about having LeBron James and Anthony Davis both scoring over 25 points a game. And like I say, correct, they're trying to win a title now is all about now. We don't even know if Anthony Davis is going to re-sign. But, Alan, we also don't want to just completely blow out any potential we have down the line. And this is a guy who's a crowd favorite, the Cougs' chance. This is a great, great player potentially, and he's already done some real things in this league. He's a guy who has scored 40 points multiple times in this league. I just don't think we move him unless there's an amazing trade. And you're the man, Alan. So if you know of that kind of trade, let us know. I have been scratching my head now since listening to this for the past 20 minutes. I can't think of one trade that could net us a guy who's going to legitimately put us into that title. Let me give you a quick story. I was an Eddie Jones fan.
Yep.
He was my favorite player, mm-hmm. right? We moved him for Glenn Rice. I hated the trade when it happened. But we did win that title, and then Glenn
it
Rice
justified
was done,
it.
And then we won another two.
Right,
but
it justified
dude,
it.
Is there a Glenn Rice trade for...
Look, Max, I don't have an answer. Sorry, man. I'm going to squeeze a couple more calls in here. I don't have an answer what that trade is going to be. All I reported a little bit earlier, I didn't report, I'm just reading off, Mark Stein reported it. Sacramento, among the teams that has tried to engage the Lakers in Kyle Kuzma trade talks, and that part of that conversation is Bogdan Bogdanović. So I don't know if I – and here's the thing is I'm not talking about a specific player. I'm just saying in general. In general, there are obviously going to be players out there that have playoff experience, that have been there potentially. And I think you brought up a good point that the buyout market is probably the most realistic thing for the Lakers. If the Lakers are able to get Andre Iguodala, Darren Collison, you know, those type of players, you don't have to give up anybody. You just continue doing what you're doing. But that has to come in a buyout, and the Lakers don't have control over that as far as Andre Iguodala goes. We'll see about Darren Collison coming up a little bit later in the show. I'll ask Sam Amick about that and just his thoughts on Darren Collison. But I think the conversation about Kuz, it's kind of weird in a sense, because whether I'm doing the post-game show, pre-game show with MT, or just doing stuff on social, Kuz is by far the most polarizing name on this Lakers roster. When you bring up Kuz, either somebody's on one side of the fence and says, no, don't even think about getting rid of Kyle Kuzma, or they're saying, I wonder what we could get for Kuz. I wonder what kind of an asset we can get for Kuz. Max, you were trying to make the point there that you got to think of the future. In most scenarios, I would agree with you. You have to think of the future. But the Lakers are literally just living in the present, because in front of them right now is potentially number 17. And it seems like that's obviously the priority, and it's not about next year, and it's not about future years from now. It's about trying to get that one chip this year. You could tell they're not thinking about the future, because obviously the Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, I go down the list of all the different trade assets they gave, the swap picks that they gave to the Pelicans. Now, the difference in that case is Anthony Davis is the present and he's also the future. Let me squeeze one more quick call in. John in Beverly Hills. John, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, John.
I totally disagree with the last caller. You know, there's nothing more important than winning in sports right now, especially in basketball, when one guy can have such an impact. We got to look at who's on this team. LeBron James and Anthony Davis, they're ready to win right now. Anything can happen. An injury could occur, and then the Lakers' fortunes could totally change in the future. In addition, Kyle Kuzma's a good offensive player, but who's he stopping defensively? And look at the best teams in the NBA right now, okay? The Clippers are a very good defensive team. Milwaukee, a very good defensive team. Okay, Philadelphia, a very good defensive team. So Kyle Kuzma doesn't give us any of that on the defensive end. So if you can go get a Bogdanović or someone that will really enhance the Lakers' chances of winning right now, that's what you go and do.
John, appreciate the call. More of your guys' phone calls when we come back. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I want to continue this conversation. I want to hear more from Laker fans. Give me your thoughts. There's no right or wrong answer. There is a part of, I think, the fan base that says Kuzma will be the player that we're talking about. Let him play out the rest of this year. Let him figure it out. The guy wasn't healthy. And then there's another part of a Laker fan base that's saying, I don't want to take any chances. You can go get a vet right now that can give you a better likelihood of competing for an NBA championship, trying to get past the Clippers, some of these other teams, yeah, you make that move. Either way, phone number 877-710-ESPN. We'll talk about that coming up next. And then Sam Amick coming up at 7:15. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. Well, I'll say this on Kuz. If something is done, if before the NBA trade deadline some kind of move happens, let's just say hypothetically, of course he's a very, very important asset for the Lakers. You don't have many assets left. You know, you obviously gave away pretty much every asset that you had to get Anthony Davis here. Kuzma was the only asset that you kept. And I know there's probably, you know, a combination of reasons why Kuzma was kept, and some of that is just to have an asset. Another one is because you felt like he's going to be a good fit with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and he'd be a player that can start contributing right away. You don't have, you know, you're not really looking 3-4 years down the road. I'm sorry to break it to you, but you're not. Not to say that you can't have that in the back of your mind, not to say that salaries, you're not thinking that way, but as of right now, the most thing that's important, the biggest thing that's important is just what roster you have out there come playoff time to try and get number 17, because you're going to be one of 2-3 teams that are going to be fighting for it, and if Kyle Kuzma eventually is not on this roster, then you have to imagine what they got for him is that difference maker or that piece to all of a sudden have you surpassed the Clippers or surpassed the Milwaukee Bucks. And I don't think the rest of the Western Conference, by the way, is just going to sit pat and say, well, it's up to the Lakers and the Clippers. One of those two teams are going to win an NBA championship or they're going to get to the finals. I think, obviously, other teams are going to be aggressive as well. I'm sure the Clippers want Darren Collison as much as the Lakers do. I'm sure the Clippers want Andre Iguodala as much as the Lakers do, or the Rockets want Andre Iguodala. So we'll have to see, we'll have to see how things play out. John in Temecula. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. Thank you.
Thanks for taking
my call.
You got it. Hey, I'm a lifelong Lakers fan with friends tied to the buses. I'm all for the last caller's spot on. I'm all for making a trade with Kuzma. Kuzma's a four-year college player. He's not one and done. What we've seen so far is what he is. He's a liability defensively, and I think we can do an upgrade. What do you guys think?
Well, I say that that's going to be this is an interesting position, because I think every call that I've took so far, everyone that there's one guy that will say keep Kuz, the next guy will say no, I think you should shop Kuz. Sean in Studio City, what do you think, Sean? Do you think Kuz is one of those players that you should be hanging on to and not having trade talks, or you think the Lakers are in a position right now where they're better off trying to get somebody that can help them win today?
Well, I think the Lakers wouldn't be smart to not take anybody's phone calls regarding Kyle Kuzma. I feel that his dip off probably has a lot to do with his minutes. He's only averaging 23 minutes this year, opposed to 33 minutes last year. And you got to think about it. I mean, this guy gets he's inserted into a game and has to perform immediately. So you can just imagine the pressure. So maybe him being traded may ease up some pressure on him and he can perform. But I say that. We should probably just keep him as long as we can. I mean, he is not the only one that's inconsistent on that bench. So, I mean, we're not a good free throw shooting team. We turn the ball over. We have lapses in defense and offense at times. So just to squarely put it on Kyle Kuzma's shoulders, I don't really think it's too fair. And I think
Sean, it's not just on his back. I think the difference is this. I think everybody, our expectations for Kuz when we walked into the season was, oh, no question about it. This is the third best player on this roster. This guy's got a chance to be, sixth man of the year. Those were the expectations for Kuz. Let me be very, very, I want to make sure that I'm clear on this. The Lakers struggling with some of their bench and their role players, that's not all on Kuz, but the expectation for Kuz was different than Avery Bradley. The expectation for Kuz was different than KCP or for Rajon Rondo. Rondo has not, by any stretch of the imagination, been consistent this year. Neither has Danny Green. I mean, I said this in I think it was the postgame show where he had 25 points against the Pelicans. Danny Green did. I said that I hope I get a chance to talk about Danny Green again without having to go 3, 4, 5 games before the next time that he gives us a performance like this or 20 points or whatever the case is. Danny Green's on a 2-year, $30 million deal. I don't think he's been consistent for the Lakers. So it's not just on Kyle Kuzma, but Kuz has been the conversation. You know, I think a lot of those other players, one of the advantages they have over Kuz is they're veterans. They've been in this league for a while. They know how to win in the playoffs. They have playoff experience, and Kuz doesn't have that to his advantage. So, it is unfair sometimes to have Kuz be the name that pops up every single time when we talk about, well, the bench needs to be better. But the expectations of Kuz were different than some of these other players. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of Lakers talk. It is kind of comical. You would think right now that the Lakers are sitting at, they're 7-29 or something. I mean, I'm talking about them as if they got the record of the New York Knicks. But look, I say that, you know, I'm critical on the Lakers, or I'm hard on the Lakers, because I know what the goal is. We don't have too many chances like this where you got an opportunity to win an NBA championship, and they're right there. I mean, the Lakers are right there. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to compare the Lakers strategy to the Clippers strategy and how these two franchises both got the same goal in mind, but how they get there is completely different. And I actually like what the Lakers are doing. I like the strategy that they're taking. But I do feel like something's missing on this Lakers roster. I do feel like there is something that the Lakers need to just make us all feel good about, okay, now we're the favorites. Now everyone's coming through the Lakers, and you want the rich to get richer. You want to be greedy. Because we don't know how many opportunities like this are going to be left under LeBron James. LBJ's been everything for the Lakers. Everything for the Lakers. The moment he got here, this franchise has completely changed. And whether you were a fan of LBJ or you weren't, or if you thought LeBron James was going to, you know, hurt the Lakers in the big picture, whatever your thought process was in that, LBJ has single-handedly changed this franchise around, and we have a realistic shot of winning an NBA championship. So these conversations walking into this NBA trade deadline coming up on February 6th, they're fair conversations to have if you're a Laker fan, because you could potentially taste what could be there, and it might take a little bit of tweaking on your roster to get there. So that's why we're having that conversation. Joey in LA, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Joey.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Thank you.
I say, you know, in my opinion, I say you 100% trade Kuzma if you can upgrade now. Everyone always talks about losing Ingram and Ball and possibly Kuz and talks about the future, but no one cares how good they're going to be in 3 to 4 years if the Lakers have won 2 or 3 championships since then.
By the way, Joey, you don't got to win 2 or 3. You get 1. Under LeBron James' tenure in the Los Angeles Lakers, you won. You know, I mean, think about how tough it is to get 1 NBA championship in the league. Think about how many franchises are in the NBA right now that have never won, or they won 25 years ago, or they won 40 years ago, whatever the case is. Lakers taking on the Knicks, last time the Knicks won a championship, and that's a premier franchise, was back in the 70s, the mid-70s or something like that. So that's how critical moments like this can be. And I wouldn't be having the conversation if Kuz right now was exactly what we thought he would be. I think Kuz is having an underperforming season. That's a fair statement for me to make, that the expectation that I had for Kuz walking into the season is different than we sit right now. And that doesn't mean, hey, get rid of Kuz. No, that's not the argument I'm making. But of course you listen to other teams. Of course you try and figure out if there's a player out there that you got for Kuzma, even if it hurts your long-term plan, but it helps your short-term plan and it helps the Lakers this year. Yeah, part of that is a gamble, but the Lakers have already gambled. I mean, they started their gambling 2 years ago. All the young players that were on this roster, those were just chips. If they're playing poker, they're putting chips at the center of the table and saying, we'll take our chances. We'll take our chances again. That's been the theme of what the Lakers have done over the course of you know, the last couple of years. D in L.A., you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, D.
Yeah, hi. How you doing? I love your show.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
I want to talk about Kuzma, but I just want to say Laker fans are so spoiled. I'm a Laker fan myself.
I'm with you on that. So I'm with you on that. We are. We are. It's been 10 years that we haven't won a championship. We think it's been 53.
Yes, exactly. Just think about the rest of the United States, what they have to deal with. I think the Lakers, listen, I love what we did with AD. I think we're playing bully ball. I think it's like unfair to have two of the best forwards, power forwards, small forwards on the same team, and we have them. But I think the Lakers, the problem is I don't like what we did with our wings and our guards. And I think we need to get a little more athletic. Kuzma is the one player that we kept that's not a two-way player, but I want to keep him because I think he could be a special offensive player. We need to get somebody the opposite of Kuzma that plays defense. That's only been in the league like 3 or 4 years, and they concentrate on D so Kuzma can get back to his normal self and just score. He's needed to do too many things that he's not great at. He's not a great ball handler. He doesn't play D, but he can score. Mm-hmm. We need to. I like Giannis's brother. I think we could bring him up. He could play defense.
The problem, D, I think the issue, and I appreciate you calling in, you know, now we're depending on players that are under the age of 25 that have not, they don't have that playoff experience. And I think that's when Laker fans come on and they make an argument to try and, you know, make a move to just help better their chances right now. Going and saying, let's grab some guy on a two-way contract in the G League, you're doing that if you're a 500 team. You're doing that if you're not competing for an NBA championship. Lakers are competing for a chip. Very realistic that we could be sitting here in mid-June marching down Figueroa at some kind of a parade because Lakers got number 17. Let's get one more of these calls in. Let's go to Kevin in Diamond Bar. Kevin, you're on Lakers Talk, buddy.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Good, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. You too.
I just wanted to say, I think trading Kuzma is like one of the greatest options we have right now because I was at the game yesterday and all the shots that he was taking, I was like, could have been better. Mm-hmm. And I mean, knowing LeBron and his playing style, you know that LeBron thrives when you have a three-point shooter out in the arc just waiting, you know? He goes, he drives, he dishes. And I think Bogdanović is one of the greatest options right now if we were able to get him from the Kings. But we'd have to sacrifice, I think, Avery. But, I mean, Bogdanović is proven because what he did over the Olympics this year, or over this offseason playing against, like, Team USA and playing for his nation. I believe, like,
He's done good, by the way. Every time I feel like, appreciate you calling in. He's done good pretty much every time he's played the Lakers as well, as at least it seems like that. We'll see what happens. I mean, this is just, you know, you still got over 30 days before the trade deadline hits. And or actually, it's about 30 days away. So you have, it's on February 6th. So you got some time to figure things out. But I think what's going to be a critical, critical stand for the Lakers too, what happens January 28th when you take on the Clippers? Team that's already 2-0 against you. It's going to be a Lakers home game. I'll tell you what, if you lose that game to the Clippers and you're 0-3 against the Clippers, then you have a short span to figure out what to do with your roster because I think it would be apparent by that point that the Clippers are a better team. But if you go out and you blow out the Clippers and say, that last one you got against us, that was a fluke. We made mistakes in the fourth quarter that we're not going to make again. LBJ wasn't healthy. Whatever the case is, then that might be a different story. But nonetheless, Lakers got some holes. All we care about is winning a championship. You're 29-7 atop the Western Conference. How can you improve your roster? I think it's a fair comment and a fair statement to make, whether that's with Kyle Kuzma or any of these players on this roster. Sam Amick, senior writer for The Athletic, he's had some fantastic stories and insight about the Los Angeles Lakers, about Kyle Kuzma. We'll talk Darren Collison as well, Andre Iguodala. We'll get into all these players. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Sam Amick, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, hopping on Lakers Talk. Sam, thanks for taking some time. I know a lot of us folks out here in LA enjoy the work that you do, so thanks for taking some time to hop on the show.
Appreciate you having me.
All right, first question I'll ask is this, and as we kind of look at the Los Angeles Lakers, obviously a number of I would say that this is obviously the time of the year where everybody's talking about some of these rumors, NBA trade deadline. The chatter around Kyle Kuzma, can you just, as best as you can, Just give us, you know, your thought process on Kyle Kuzma and some of the chatter behind his name leading up to that February 6th trade deadline.
Yeah, Alan, I mean, here's the way I would see it is this. It's always tricky this time of year to report on these types of different possibilities because, you know, it's obviously nothing personal, but when it comes to the way the NBA functions, a lot of times you have a confluence of certain factors that lead to kind of an unofficial short list of players that around the league teams are talking quite a bit about. And it's a combination of the talent, you know, talent itself and where the guy's at career-wise on that front, his contract and how that comes into play. Some guys are too expensive to move. Some guys are so cheap that they're actually hard to move, and actually Kyle, in a weird sort of way, could be in that category. But with Kyle, the other unique part is that because the Lakers have now got this championship-contending team built around LeBron James, Anthony Davis, he's got that pressure on him of being the homegrown, so to speak, young guy who people are wondering if he's going to fit in well enough to kind of secure that role, or if Lakers GM Rob Pelinka is going to go ahead and make a move here, because around the league, Kyle is a guy that I think could certainly garner interest. Even though he hasn't played all that well this year, I think there's going to be some GMs who look at him and say, if we're rebuilding, if we want a guy like that to be part of our young core, you get him for another season in addition to this one. If you didn't give him an extension this summer, he would be a restricted free agent the following year. So, you know, that's kind of the dynamic, and I do think there's a lot of eyes around the NBA on Kyle.
Sam, I'll get your thoughts on this. Kuzma obviously has a skill set. He's got a place in this league. The tables have turned dramatically for the Lakers in the last couple of years, and they've shown that. Brandon Ingram no longer on this team. Lonzo Ball, D'Angelo Russell. I could go down the list of all these young players that the Lakers used to have. And Kuzma's one of the last remaining pieces on this Los Angeles Lakers roster. Literally him and, you could say, Alex Caruso, a player that was in the G League for quite a while, but now obviously part of this Lakers roster.
Right.
Do you think that the Lakers right now have enough as the roster is currently constructed? Do you think they have enough to win an NBA championship, or do you feel like, you know what, that's too risky, being the fact that they really kind of shown their role players and their bench have not been consistent?
No, I mean, I would put it this way. Like, as currently constructed, if they stood pat, you know, I mean, they, if I was a betting man, I would put some of my money on them, but it wouldn't be with great confidence. You know what I mean? They have a group that I think, if circumstances fell their way, first and foremost, like every team, if they stayed healthy, if the chemistry continued to be, you know, at a high level, there's a lot of ifs. But we've seen in those, you can't take too much from small sample size, but the two losses to the Clippers certainly have turned some heads in terms of how they size up, you know, with the other team in L.A. that is so often mentioned as a title contender. You know, matchup problems potentially with a Milwaukee, Philadelphia, you know, although their size certainly would help them a lot on that front. So, I mean, you know, they're in that class. But the question is, you know, and this is where it would be fascinating to be the fly on the wall in Pelinka's office right now, is, you know, you assume that he and his staff are turning over every stone, trying to figure out what piece might be out there that would be an upgrade, whether it's, you know, somebody that they give Kyle up for or maybe some other move. They don't have a lot of options. That's the tricky part. They have so many guys who, because of the short-term nature of their contract, have essentially no trade clauses,
yeah,
which prohibits them from a lot of their movement. And even, to be honest, in terms of matching money, it's problematic for them. I mean, somebody today asked me about Chris Paul. Well, that's not happening. He makes $38 million. You're not doing a deal like that. So I think they could wind up being the champion, even if they stood pat. But to tie a bow on it, as far as Kyle goes, at the moment, I feel confident saying he has not proven to be a piece that is necessary for that championship as currently constructed. He just hasn't been, to much of a degree, part of the solution.
You know, and I think, Sam, I think that's not on him. And when we set an expectation, Laker fans did, and even just the NBA in general, it's like, okay, hey, Kuz is going to be that third guy. And it was easy to think
right.
that he will be. You know, he was averaging about 18 points, 18 and a half points last year, so you just assumed, all right,
yeah,
now LeBron, AD, so much attention on these guys. The reality is, this is where I think, like you just mentioned, The Clippers factor in all this. The Milwaukee Bucks factor. Other teams in the Western Conference, they may make moves. They're trying to catch up to the Lakers and the Clippers. That's why I just don't know if the Lakers can stand pat and just be comfortable saying to themselves, well, we're going to just take this exact roster and run with it. I know you had sent out a tweet. This was on Mark Stein's report a little bit earlier today about a Kuzma Bogdanovic. Do you want to just you added some more context to it if you want to continue to add context to some of the Laker fans that are listening to the show.
Sure. I mean, Mark had reported that the Kings were among the teams that had talked to the Lakers about Kuzma and that the Lakers' interest appeared to be Bogdan Bogdanovic. My intel was that in terms of those two main pieces, the Kings have zero interest in doing that trade. The reason some teams are going to come trying to get Bogdanovic, and honestly somebody might get him, is because he's a restricted free agent this summer. He's also pretty widely known to be not ecstatic about coming off the bench for this Kings team. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's part of him that it appears would be looking for greener pastures. All that being said, the Kings' stance as of the moment is that they're comfortable with his restricted free agency. They value his versatility, which is a very polite way of saying he does more things than Kyle Kuzma. And in the six games that he has missed this season, they're 0-6. He's actually been, you know, a net positive for them and a guy that, you know, they think is part of the solution right now. It's from the Sacramento and beyond. This is another theme to this NBA season that they are part of, is that in the West in particular, the playoff race is so, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, pathetic, that you have a lot of teams like the Kings that in a normal year, they would be out of the playoff race already unofficially, and they would be looking to sell mm-hmm. on their roster, but they're not out of the playoff race. They still have a puncher's chance at it, even, you know, better than that. I think 2.5 out, maybe something, maybe 3. But, you know, they haven't been to the playoffs since 2006. So for them, the simple fact that they see Bogdanovic as a more kind of capable player right now for this team than a guy like Kuzma is going to preclude them from doing any deal like that unless there was some sort of future asset attached.
Sam Amick, senior NBA writer for The Athletic on Lakers Talk. Sam, you know, you kind of presented some challenges with, like you mentioned, guys that have no trade clause, matching salaries. It's not going to be an easy task for the Lakers to just wheel and deal right now. Do you feel like it's probably it's more common to see the Lakers try and go the buyout route? And in that sense, what do you think of Darren Collison, who's obviously been the kind of the topic the last couple of days about wanting to join the Lakers or the Clippers potentially? What do you think? How do you think he would be a fit for the Lakers?
I think he'd be a good fit. You know, and that's you almost can't make some of this stuff up. You got a Lakers and Clippers, you know, teams that both could use another ball handler. In the Lakers' case, LeBron's been incredible. You just would like to have somebody where the ball doesn't need to be in his hands quite so much. Mm-hmm. In the Clippers' case, they knew going into the year that was the only, you know, kryptonite, so to speak, for them, is that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are actually fairly decent playmakers, but they're not LeBron by any means. And so you need more playmaking on that side. Patrick Beverley is a defensive first point guard, and so that's something they could use. But, you know, I don't know which way Darren's going to go, and you know, I think that could be a key piece. Sorry, saying hello to somebody there.
It's okay.
That's a guy who's out there. I chatted today with somebody else who I thought, this is just my own speculation, that I thought was an interesting possibility. You know, is Derrick Rose? You know, where's his value in this mm-hmm. season, where he's done some pretty good things and is actually in All-Star contention in the East, and I believe on a relatively cheap contract, and you know, and Kuzma's got those Detroit or Flint, Michigan roots, so who the heck knows? But the other part within all of those types of scenarios on the Lakers side of thing is never forget the importance of the LeBron factor. And I'm not trying to you know, kind of be that guy who says, oh, LeBron runs the Lakers. That's not what I mean. But you know, listen, the stature that he comes with and his voice and who he is as a player and as a person, he's going to weigh in on, you know, all of these possible transactions. And so where these different guys stand with LeBron and the way he sees their game,
I do think matters.
Well, Sam, he also, you know, like you mentioned, he's also changed the entire organization around. I mean, you're sitting at 29-7. We're talking about the Lakers having a championship shot. Where were they 2 years ago? So I think, you know, Some of that clout that comes with it is because he brings an incredible amount of success to the franchise. Last question I have for you. What do you think happens, and this is just a guess, obviously, based on nothing more than just, you know, your guess, but what do you think happens with Andre Iguodala the rest of the way?
Don't have a recent beat on it. You know, the Grizzlies certainly have been stubbornly trying to, and holding out for a first-round pick on that front. One of the more, you know, we've seen situations like this where a guy didn't play for a while, but this one's kind of unique. It's a $17 million. Andre's a guy who, and I'm somebody who likes him a lot, and I have not talked to him recently. The thing I would love to talk with him about on a personal level is, like, you know, money's one thing, but you know the clock is ticking. You know you still have something to give, but you're at a stage of your career where these are all wasted days. And I'm not trying to say that they wouldn't have been wasted if he played in Memphis, but it's like the sooner the better for him in terms of getting to his next landing spot. And so in that regard, I mean, I know it's pro sports. Nobody's going to shed a tear for him because he's making a boatload of money. But the part of me that just likes his game wishes that would get resolved because Andre is an extremely valuable player. I mean, as far as where he lands, you've got the Rob Pelinka connection with the Lakers. That's his old agent. But you also do have people around who know him, and we'll see who's right here, who say that he would much, much, much rather go at LeBron than play with LeBron. Hmm. And so in that regard, maybe it winds up being the Clippers or I mean, Houston's been chasing him the whole time as well. So we shall see.
Sam, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking some time to do this, and great insight as well, all right?
You got it. Thanks, Alan.
All right, that's Sam Amick. How great was that? How insightful was that? I appreciate having him on. How about the Lakers not even battling against the Clippers just on the court? All the names that I'm bringing up, Lakers and Clippers going after Darren Collison. You hear Lakers and Clippers, obviously, around Andre Iguodala. These two are going to have more battles off the court than they are on the court. We come back, we'll talk about the differences between the two franchises, their strategy this year, Lakers and the Clippers. I want to spend some time on that. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. Great stuff from Sam Amick. You know, it's interesting to kind of throw out the names that I did, whether we were talking about Kyle Kuzma or the conversation about Darren Collison or Andre Iguodala. There's some battles for the Lakers that they have with the Clippers that has nothing to do with on the court. Seems like all the players that the Lakers are interested in, the Clippers are also interested in. And if we thought, you know, what happens between the lines is where it ends with the Lakers and the Clippers, that's not the case. Both of these franchises have similar interests in players. I think the Darren Collison part, you know, just watching the Lakers the last few games, and we know that the Lakers, this is AD and LeBron are always they're always going to deliver. They've shown it this year. The biggest question mark for the Lakers, I said this last couple of shows, Lakers will live and die by their bench and their role players. If the bench and the role players, if they deliver for the Lakers, there's a good chance this team goes to another level. If they don't deliver, well, two players can only do so much. You can't ask LeBron James to do anything more for the Lakers. What more do you want from him? You can't ask Anthony Davis to do any more for the Lakers on both sides of the ball. What more do you want from him? It is going to come down to a lot of these other players. And when I see, you know, Darren Collison, if the Lakers have an opportunity on him, absolutely they can use him. No question about it, they can use him. Especially right now, Rondo hasn't been playing good basketball. Lakers are struggling. What happens when LeBron James goes to the bench? And I'm not saying Darren Collison is going to solve every problem for the Lakers. It does have to be from a team perspective. LBJ yesterday, just give you guys an example. LeBron yesterday was a plus 23 on the plus minus. Lakers won by 7. Usually if you're a plus 23 and you're a starter, you're winning by 15 to 20 points or somewhere close to where that plus 23 came from. And Lakers only won by, you know, they won by 7 points. It just tells you that LBJ is everything for the Los Angeles Lakers. They do need other players that when LBJ is getting some rest or he's trying to get some rest, that these leads are not just flying away and that there's some opportunities where hopefully LeBron can sit in a fourth quarter. Laker fans want to invite you to enjoy the finest tequila in the world, ultra-premium small batch award-winning Sincoro tequila. Sincoro is naturally rich and delicious for a signature taste unlike any other and is best sipped and savored while enjoying with friends and family. Sincoro Tequila, official sponsor of the Los Angeles Lakers. Please sip and savor responsibly. Must be 21 years of age or older. So I think there's some, as I say that the Lakers and the Clippers, they're both kind of fighting for not just supremacy of the Western Conference, but also off the court as well. There's an interesting strategy between the two of these teams. And the strategy is so much different than each other. The Clippers' strategy, you could tell that the regular season is clearly not that important to that franchise. And it's not to say that they're, you know, 10 games out of first place in the West or anything like that, but they're resting their players. They're 26-12 on the season. They're four games back from the Los Angeles Lakers. Granted, whether they're 2-0 against the Lakers or not, that's where they sit in the Western Conference standings. They rest their stars often. Very rarely do you see Paul George and Kawhi Leonard both playing together. Very rarely do you see Kawhi Leonard in a back-to-back. And their strategy is they got enough talent versus anyone in the NBA to win one road game in the playoffs and then swing that back and get home court advantage. That's their thought process. For the Lakers, it's a completely different strategy. A completely different strategy. And when we come back, I want to talk about the Lakers strategy versus the Clippers strategy. I want to talk about how different these two teams are kind of aligning as we get closer to the midway point of the season, a little bit closer to January 28th when the Lakers are taking on the Clippers. And then which strategy is smarter? We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. All right, if you're looking for the very best pre- and post-game, just go to Hotel Figueroa, two blocks away from Staples Center, at the corner of Fig and Olympic. It's an amazing hotel. We actually did our holiday party there, and they redid the hotel. I mean, it just, whether it's in the back patio where they have the pool and they have a restaurant there and a bar, or it's in the front in the lobby, another restaurant there. But it's just two blocks away from Staples Center. So anytime you're out here in LA Live, make it your pregame spot. Make it your postgame spot. Make it your spot anytime you're in LA Live. $5 drafts on game day. So tomorrow, Lakers taking on the Knicks. If you come early, you're looking for a place to hang out, go to Hotel Figueroa on the corner of Fig and Olympic. Lakers taking on the Knicks tomorrow. 7:30 tip-off, by the way. Pre-game show with myself and MT will start at 6 o'clock. Obviously, all day long, starting with the morning show tomorrow, we'll be talking Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Couple just quick updates in the NBA. This will be kind of good news for Laker fans. Bucks lost today to the San Antonio Spurs, so they get their sixth loss of the season. Lakers have seven on the year. The Boston Celtics lost. That's good in its own, but it's also the ninth loss for the Celtics, so it gives Lakers a little bit cushion on that front if you're looking at the Eastern Conference. Nuggets won. Jazz won by two. Jokic had actually 47 points for the Denver Nuggets, so those are just some of the games that have some significance to the Lakers. Thunder finally lost a game, the Philadelphia 76ers. They had won 9-10. Lakers got the Thunder coming up this Saturday in Oklahoma City. So I was trying to make a little comparison between the two franchises and the Lakers strategy versus the Clippers strategy. So we know the Clippers strategy. Clippers regular season has not been important. They're resting their stars as often as they can. And they feel like, okay, we got enough talent. We've seen enough already with this team that they believe that they can win one road playoff game in the playoffs and then, you know, obviously take home court back. So that's what the Clippers are doing. For the Lakers, it's completely different. LeBron and AD, I think, have each missed one game so far this year. Lakers are playing their stars, and I do think that they're gaining chemistry through that process. Where the Clippers, Every single night, you kind of don't know who's going to play, who's starting, who's not, who's in the game, who's not in the game. So I do think it's kind of a longer process for the Clippers to try and figure out that chemistry. But, and I'm not knocking one strategy or the other, but this is the difference between the two franchises and the strategy for the Lakers. Lakers, I feel like, are valuing home court throughout the playoffs. They want the West to have to go through Staples Center, where everything is purple and gold. You know, if you have a 4.5 game lead in the Western Conference, I'm assuming that that's important to you. And for the Clippers, that's not important at all. A little bit earlier today, Ramona Shelburne and Brian Windhorst were on The Jump. Sedano was hosting it. And they're talking about the Clippers' strategy and if this could be something that comes back to bite them down the road.
They're winning most of these games. Mm-hmm. They don't have Kawhi and Paul George in a game together with any kind of consistency. They're not building anything. The only thing you get concerned with is essentially if the regular season is de-emphasized for your stars, it is hard to keep the rest of the team feeling like the regular season is important, especially when you're playing against bad teams.
So they had that really big win on Christmas against the Lakers. Well, I remember that. Since then, they are 26th in the league in defensive rating. Mm-hmm. So what I think we have here is we're going to have a team that, because of guys sitting out and because of just general focus issues, I don't think we're going to see their best. This is, you know, their assistant coach, Ty Lue, could really give Doc Rivers some pointers on this because this was the way. I mean, like, Kawhi, we've seen with Kawhi, when it's time to bring it, Kawhi brings it.
Yeah.
And he takes collective, he makes selective choices on when he's going to bring it. And I think the Clippers believe that they're the best team in the West and that they can do it whenever they want. And where you often see the lack of focus show up is on defense. I think this team is absolutely going to be there, but their lack of continuity and their lack of ability to bring consistent defensive effort could cost them a seed or two. And back in the day, LeBron would just say, I don't care what seed I'm in, get me in. And maybe that's where Kawhi Leonard is now.
That can mean something because the Lakers are valuing those things. And I know we're 0-2 against the Clippers, so kind of hurts my argument when I say that the Lakers strategy that they're taking, I feel like big picture for the Lakers, this will be beneficial. Big picture, you want AD and LeBron to be on the same page. You don't want them to have to still try and figure out how to play with each other in February and in March. That doesn't sound like that would be advantageous to the Lakers. You want that these role players know their role, that chemistry is being gained. I watched the game on Saturday. The Clippers gave up 140 points. Kawhi didn't play in that game. And then the very next night, which was yesterday, they play the Knicks. And they beat the Knicks. Kawhi didn't play in that game. Paul George played in that one. So it's kind of just being rotated. You don't really know who's in that lineup on a night-in, night-out basis. I think that's a good thing for the Lakers, that they've got these guys all playing together. We know tomorrow against the Knicks, if LeBron and AD are healthy, they're going to play. If Kuz and Alex Caruso are good to go, they're going to play. Avery Bradley and so forth. You go down that list. I think that will, at some point, be of benefit to the Lakers. When January 28th rolls around and the Lakers got the Clippers again, and it's a Lakers home game, you have to imagine that the Lakers take care of business. And I said that on Christmas. And I was telling MT in the pregame show, I'm like, MT, this is not a story if the Lakers win. The only story is if the Lakers lose, and they lost that game. And I could point to a number of different things, and I got to imagine the Lakers now have more a chip on their shoulder than they ever have this season when they get that opportunity again against the Clippers. But man, what a difference in strategies for both of these teams. Look, in 2 months from now, I think we'll look back and say, you know what? I think it's smart that the Lakers are trying to get home court. I think it's smart that the Lakers are playing as much as they possibly can together to gain continuity and to gain chemistry. It's yet to be seen, right? So I can sit here and make that argument all day long, but the Clippers can say, well, we're 2-0 against you. So you go ahead and run with your strategy and we'll run with ours. And that's probably exactly what they're doing. But I do see that there's a benefit to what the Lakers have done so far this year. And that's why they're sitting four games in front of everybody else in the Western Conference. So we'll have to wait and see kind of how things play out. But I do think it's interesting that everything the Lakers are doing right now, I feel like the conversation comes up between the Lakers and the Clippers so often. And when I had Sam Amick on, we were talking about Darren Collison, and he'll probably sign with one of the two teams. Or Andre Iguodala, if he is bought out, maybe probably make some type of a choice between the Lakers and the Clippers. There's a lot of back and forth between these two franchises. That's why also too, when I'm talking about, the NBA trade deadline coming up, when I'm talking about some of these different players that could be available, should the Lakers shop Kyle Kuzma, I'm really comparing ourselves to the Clippers. You know, that's the team I'm comparing ourselves to. I know we lost to the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee, but in a 7-game set, I'll take my chances against the Bucks. But the Clippers is a team that you're kind of looking at, saying to yourself, okay, how do we look against them in a 7-game set? And I think for both teams, it's going to be a challenge. Shootout's coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA.